Hey, folks, I know it already feels like we've had church with the worship and Kenny's praying for us. Let me start off with scripture. I lift up my eyes to the hills, to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, these are ancient words that a psalmist wrote thousands of years ago. And the question is, do you believe them? Will you allow these words to shape your reactions and your life and the steps and choices that you make right now in these unprecedented times? Do you believe that the sovereign Lord is our help in a time like this? I do. Now, I want to open God's word. I want us to look at some things. We'll end with some very practical points, but I'd love for you to join me in prayer one more time. Father, we come before you now, and you are the maker of heaven and earth, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this opportunity for us to do this together. I'm grateful that you have blessed us in such a way that we do get to share with each other. Lord, and I pray right now, God, please, that you would remind us that you are not just with us, but that you are enough. Encourage us, heal us, protect us, lead us, inspire us. God, even now, call us closer to you. You can do all of that. I'm asking you that you would now, that you'd speak to us through your word. I'm asking this in the name of Jesus, our King, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn. We're going to be in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And some of you are going, wait, I don't have a Bible. If you have an iPhone, if you have an iPad, anything like that, laptop, and you want to dial this in yourself, you've got two places that you can go right now. We've got two places that you can hit, and you just put in, we're going to read the New Testament passage first and then the Old Testament passage. You put that in there. Pick a, it'll ask you to pick a translation. You might want to pick like NIV. NIV and ESV are normally the ones that we'll read from around here, but otherwise we'll put these at the bottom of the screen. Here we go, James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. This is the word of God. I believe he is going to speak to us through this, and I don't think I'll ever read those words the same again in my lifetime. I think it's fair to say that for many of us, we're getting a real taste of the uncertainty and the volatility, the unpredictability of life. In fact, if you want to think of it this way, what we are getting a big old dose of right now is the unknown. There's so much of this life that right now we're saying, I can't even tell you what the next week is going to look like. I'll tell you what I'd like. If you would use the app that we have or talk to us on our different platforms in which you're watching this, would you let us know right now, what is the unknown like for you? What is it that you're facing? Now, these can be really serious things. What we've had so far have been profound, profound things, and then sort of cute little struggles that families are going through. We just want to hear at every level, what is the unknown for you right now? Now, while you're doing that, I want to go back to what James is saying, because at first glance, you might look at this and go, well, wait, is he like saying we shouldn't plan? Let's ask it this way. How many of you are organized? Like you're the really organized person in your group, in your crew, in your family. You're the one that really has it all detailed down to the nth degree. Now, you know who you are. If you're in a room with those people, you might as well be, go ahead and raise your hand now because everyone knows it's you. If you're watching this alone on your own device in your own apartment or home, you have friends right now that could text you and say, you better be raising your hand, because some of you have had plans for how you're going to spend the day, the hour, the minutes, and you've had that plan on your wall for like 2 months. The question is it okay to plan? Well, the answer to that obviously is yes. I would say it's good stewardship. We should plan for the future. We should plan for what we hope and want to see around the next corner in the future. It's one of the ways that this church has always tried to work and to function, is to think strategically ahead. When we saw storm clouds on the near horizon just a few weeks ago, our leadership began to pull together and to say, how are we going to maximize our resources for this season of great difficulty? And I want to first of all just say I'm so proud of being a part of this church at so many levels, and I am so grateful to those of you who are saying in an almost defiant way, I am going to invest in what God is doing. God is going to accomplish something through his church. You need to know that the leadership has been paying very close attention to expenses, very close attention to the steps that we'll take. But it's why almost immediately we were able to move our classes online, so many of these experiences online. It's why we can tell you that our outreach team has a strategy and has really a plan for how we will stay engaged with our partners here locally. You see, there are people who are at risk right now, and we want to know how we can continue to serve them. It's why youth and kids are doing what they're doing. It's why our recovery community here in the church, our leaders are figuring out how do we stay engaged. How about story time through our bookstore? And I think it's three nights a week. All of this information is on the website. But three nights a week, so folks from our bookstore will be reading books to your kids. All of this requires planning and strategy. So there's nothing wrong with that. It appears that James is writing to people who are making their plans, and actually they're forgetting to, well, on the one hand, they're forgetting to factor in the unknown. You see, they thought that they were pretty much in control of, well, everything. And the other thing they were doing was they were completely leaving God out of the plan. Now, here's a newsflash for you. Life is unpredictable. Sometimes it's unpredictable in a, wow, that came out of nowhere, I did not see that coming. I love those kinds of surprises way. Sometimes it's unpredictable in a, wow, I did not see that coming, that came out of nowhere. I hate those kind of surprises sort of way. But it all comes back to the idea that we cannot fully see into the future. Oh, wait, and James gives us more, doesn't he? James says, well, what is your life like? It's like a mist. It's a fog that burns off with the morning sun. It was here. You should have seen it. It was something, but it's vanished. It's gone. Now, I can only imagine that some of you, when I first read that a couple of minutes ago from James, some of you were like, oh, this is where we're going today? It feels like you're kind of piling on here, Pastor. I mean, is this it? Listen, normally, when we get to a place like this, we have to slow down so that everyone can feel what's going on, feel the point, get the point. I don't think we have to do that today. I can't imagine that there isn't anyone that's joining us right now that isn't willing to say, we are not in control as much as we thought we were. You see, you and I are facing all sorts of things that are going on where the truth is, we're like, well, how do I do this? How do I live in this unknown, unpredictable, not in control world? That's the big question, isn't it? How do I live? Now, what James would say is that you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live or do this or that. Now, what does that mean? I think it's actually a beautiful counterbalance to what we have here. It is important for us to factor in and say, we're not in charge of everything. There are unknown things we don't control. You absolutely, in a moment of humility, have to say that out loud. But the counterbalance to that that he's really talking about here is, you've got to factor God into the mix. You see, God has to be a part of what's going on here. This is a theological statement that he's saying. Make your plans, but understand God is on the throne, not you. Now, just to clear something up, when it says you ought to say this, you know, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that, that is not, please don't treat that like some sort of a superstitious mantra that now you're supposed to say, like, you know, well, if it's the Lord's will, knock on wood, salt over my shoulder. That's not it. That's not it. What this is language that reflects, remember last week? It's language that reflects a worldview. It's language that just says outright, God, you are in charge. You're in control. You're the one who is at the center of the universe. Now, let's be real honest with each other. Some of us who have been at the church for a while, some of us who have been on a spiritual journey for a while, there may be a level of comfort going, yeah, I'll say that, God's in charge. But we still drift back to wanting all of this. We hate the unknown. We want to know everything, and we'd like to be in charge. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's see what some of your responses have been. And these have been, I'll be honest with you, they have been similar almost to the word throughout each of our services. So let me just, okay, so number one, every service, scary / fearful. It's like the number one answer. Some of our medical professionals, how long will it be before I come home sick? I've talked with friends who are saying, you know, we're having to make different strategies now for when I come home from work and how my family is protected. Financial stability, my employment, my employees. As a paramedic, every call is frightening. Some of these are a little more related to how's the family functioning and how are we doing with everybody crashed in together? How long will my homeschool teaching skills last? Okay, that's a real one. And this was one from a previous service that I love. How many times do I have to watch Frozen 2? So there's all sorts of things that we're dealing with as we look at this. Now, sometimes what we do is we try to divert our attention. We try to distract ourselves. Not a bad thing. I mean, some of you are binge-watching Tiger King, and now you're trying to figure out, did Carol or didn't Carol? Some of you are watching The Office for the 32nd time in a row, or you're catching up on your favorite Scandinavian cooking show. I don't know what it is for you. There's nothing wrong with diversion. But my point is, at the end of the day, the unknown is still there. It's still waiting for us. You see, for many of us, it's going to come down to now, how is it that we're going to look at this? How are we going to live with the unknown? Are you familiar with the term, here be dragons? I know for some of you who have been a part of the crossing for a long time, one of the things that you're really missing are my drawings. So I'm here to help. But cartographers, that's map makers. There's a thought out there that cartographers, back in the olden days, when you got to the edge of a map and you didn't know what was what, and really these were uncharted waters, they would put a phrase like, here be dragons. Now, I tried to do some research on that to find out if that actually was the case. Turns out I could only find like one map from the 1500s that actually had that phrase in Latin, here be dragons. Now, why would I even bring that up? Two reasons. One, I get to sound like a pirate. Here be dragons. Arr. And the second is, I do think it says something, whether it's in a kind of a clever, poetic way, or maybe it's just a jokey sort of a way. It is actually this idea that we don't like the unknown. In fact, we are afraid of the unknown. It produces worry. Anybody here worrying more than you used to? Anybody here weighed down by the weight of anxiety? Anybody here having their sleep affected by some of this? In fact, raise your hand now, wherever you are, go ahead. And I know some of you are too tough and too cool to do this, but raise your hand if you're finding that you're sleeping less, you're falling asleep is more difficult, staying asleep is more difficult. Is anyone feeling that? You see, here's the deal. When you walk with God, there is no guarantee that you and I are not going to have these moments that lead to worrisome thoughts. I don't want you to be thrown by that. I just don't want you to live there, which takes us to the Old Testament passage. Now, let's go to Psalm 121, where we began. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, here we go. I will lift up my eyes. Does that mean, well, I'm just going to look up? Well, it could, but it's a Hebrew way of saying something else. It's a Hebrew way of saying, I'm going to pay attention to something on purpose. Let's just use this word. I'm going to put my focus somewhere. So where's your focus these days? Now, from the example in James, there will be some whose focus is solely upon themselves. You know how I'm going to get through this? Me. It's going to be my smarts. It's going to be my endurance. It's going to be my solutions. That's how it's going to work. And we've already said that's not a wise way to live. There will be others who will say, well, I've got to pay attention to the situation. And there's certainly value to that because we got to figure out a way to navigate through these new waters. But if we're not careful, what begins to happen is that's as far as we go. We just pay attention to this situation. In fact, what really happens, let's say this out loud, our eyes drift to the edge of the map where the dragons lurk. Now, is that how we're supposed to live? One more time, I'm not saying that we should look away from this. I said it last week. I think it is emotionally, I think it's dishonest, and I think it's intellectually dishonest. I think it's unhealthy if we deny what's happening around us. There's a distinct difference between faith and denial. We are called to live by faith, and when we live by faith, we live with our eyes wide open. So what does the psalmist say? He says, I will lift up my eyes wide open, where? To the hills. Now, in the ancient world, were there dangers in those hills? Oftentimes there were. Is the writer looking to see Jerusalem? Like he's trying to get to Jerusalem, and as soon as he rounds the next corner, hopefully he'll see the ancient city. Possibly, we don't know. In a situation known only to him, what we do know is where he focused his attention. What does he say? Where does my help come from? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So if you keep reading, what is it that God gives us? Well, he helps. That word can also be translated watches. We'll come back to that. You see, when you look up to the hills, when you and I look up to the hills, when we face the unknown, let's go on ahead and say, there are dangers up there. We don't know the answers yet. It might even feel threatening to us, but what the psalmist is saying, you know who else lives up there in those hills? My God, my Redeemer, my Restorer, and he's got it. And he's paying attention to me. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's at least a part of it. Sometimes when we worry, we wonder, does anybody else notice this? Does anybody else even care? Your heavenly Father does. He is paying attention to every detail. Now, there's a photographer named Rosalind Fisher who uses these powerful electron microscopes to take photographs of like everyday things at such a higher magnification that it just begins to look completely different. A few years ago, one of her projects was called A Topography of Tears. Now, as I did a little bit of reading on this, there are basically three categories from what I could find of tears. One of them is they're called basal tears. These are the tears that are continually, they keep your cornea lubricated. There are tears that are a result of irritants like a speck of dust or cutting an onion. And then there are tears that are triggered by strong emotions, both good and bad. This isn't a science project. The tears are chemically different. But what I noticed, what she noticed, was that the tears look different from each other. Take a look at this one. These are onion tears. These are tears of grief. Laughing tears. See how different they are from each other? Tears of change. And then lastly, tears of ending and beginning. I don't know which tears you've shed recently, but I want to connect an extraordinary thought with those pictures from everyday life. The psalmist says in chapter 56, you have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that God is literally collecting my tears as I go through life? No, I don't think it means that. I think this is a very emotional, intimate way of saying God notices every tear that you've shed, every one of them. He is the eternal, sovereign God who is more than we can imagine, and he loves you more than you could ever, ever know. But he has seen and remembered every tear, the tears of joy, the tears of laughter, those tears that were cried when you faced an injustice, tears of sorrow, tears of fear, God, when we're frightened, God has said, I'm catching all of those. I've noticed every one of those. Why? Because he is with us. He cares. He's watching. He protects us. Tonight, when you go to sleep and when you're saying, wait, I can't really sleep, let me think about it this way. The sovereign God doesn't sleep, but watches over you so that you can sleep. He who keeps you will not slumber. One more time. Who's in charge? He's in charge. Well, does what I do in this life even matter? Absolutely. Absolutely. Your choices matter right now. He will take those choices and those decisions and those steps of faith, and he weaves them together in a story that he is still protecting. He is still guiding, which does lead to questions of, well, then why is any of this happening? And we should come to that soon. But today, right now, let's understand that in the midst of the struggle, this is what the deeper life with God looks like. Keep reading. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now, the Hebrew word there that keeps being translated, keep, can also be translated watches over, cares, guards, protects. The word shamar means an awful lot. Can I just give you one thought that you can cling to? When you come to God, when you let go of the illusion of religion, and I know some of you are joining us pretty early on, so you're trying to catch up. Let me tell you what this is like. When you see language like, I'm going to look to his face, I'm going to this, I'm going to, my God is with me. These are all relational kinds of, this is relational language. I want you to let go of the illusion that this is about religion, that this is about a ritual, that this is about, oh, so this is what I do to get God off of my back. That's not how it works. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus the Christ, and it's through his life, his death, and his resurrection that we are made whole, that we are made right. So when you let go of trying to fix things on your own and you turn to Jesus, you are welcomed into the royal family. You are restored. You are now with him, now and forever. You see, part of what God keeps is that part of your life that will stretch out into eternity, that part of your life that lasts more than these decades on planet Earth. Romans 8 says, nothing will ever separate you from that love. So I cling to that. That's my hope. I listen to that. I trust that. God is watching over me. God has me in the long view. God will protect me throughout eternity. But wait, God loves me and protects me in this life. This life matters. One of the resources that we are given is a scripture, the Bible, that tells us that the physical world matters. God cares about this life that we're in right now, and he is with us right now. So I have to keep coming back to that. I have to make that top of mind. Do you see how that's intentional? I keep turning my focus and my gaze towards him. And really, if you want to think about it, one of the ways is I consciously say, God, I'm trusting you in this. I know all about the unknown, but I am trusting you in this moment. I'm asking you to be there with me. Now, what does that look like in everyday life? I want to give you just a few few bullet points here that can help us as we go through this, and then we'll be finished. You see, this is a way for you to consciously pay attention to the care and the love of God, even as that wave of worry comes crashing in, even while you're seeing an unknown that you can't explain or predict. I want to give you something else to pay attention to that does actually help you in these moments. So the first one of these is a little bit of a riff off of something we do here at the staff on Mondays. We call it the first 30. So it's four people who will gather together across disciplines. So we make sure it's not like four musicians and four pastors, or it's people across disciplines. They gather together, they read God's word, they pray, and they share, and we call it the first 30. We want their first 30 minutes of the week to be that. So a little variation on that I asked the staff to consider this week, I'm inviting you into, and we're just calling it the first five. This is going to be so hard at first. You are going to get the screaming memes when you try to do this. It's just going to be so hard. You see, when you become fully alert, when you wake up in the morning, when it happens that, okay, it's go time, unless it's a crying baby or a smoke alarm or something that needs to be attended to immediately, I am asking you instead to do just a couple of three things. This isn't a legalistic formula. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes. You're not on the clock, but it is a moment where you will take a deep breath and go, okay, God, I am grateful for this. You just thank him for something. Now you're praying. You might as well keep praying for just a minute. Lord, you know what's going on today. I got to help the kids with this. I've got a conversation with my boss. I got to make a decision about my business. God, would you help me with this? And just bring that to him. It won't be the last time you talk to him today, but you just start there. And then a scripture, just a scripture, not like chapters and chapters. A scripture that just orients you around this theological truth that God is in charge, not us. And then you check your newsfeed. And then you get on the treadmill and watch your favorite news show. And then you look at your emails or your texts or whatever it is that is the rest of your day. Now you're in the flow. But your first thought is God, not the unknown. Now, this is an old quote. It's a long quote. I want to give it all to you. You'll see where it's dated because Eugene Peterson wrote this several years ago. I think you'll still get the point. If we forget that the newspapers are footnotes to scripture and not the other way around, we will finally be afraid to get out of bed in the morning. We get our interpretation of politics and economics and morals from journalists when we should be getting only information. The meaning of the world is most accurately given to us by God's word. You see, when I start my day by orienting, and I'm telling you again that you'll be tempted to go, wait, but I gotta look at this. 5 minutes. Just start there and be reminded, God, you are God. You're with me. What happens is it begins to motivate and fuel your actions for the rest of the day. We've been saying this, we'll continue. We want our actions to be fueled by love, not fear. So in very specific ways, let's just talk about that. In very specific ways, one of the things that we need to remember is that we're limiting our freedoms. We are doing this. We're cooperating with these authorities and people who are trying to flatten the curve, whatever term you want to use. But we're doing this in many cases, not because we feel vulnerable, but because others are vulnerable. So when I hear people kind of joking about, well, you know, I mean, I know this frightens, you know, mama and papa, but this isn't that big of a deal to me. Listen, one of the most loving things we can do is to protect those who are at risk. That's the way of Jesus. That's what this is like. And you have no idea the ramifications of what that will be when we take that loving, serious approach to this and how that will begin to affect the pressures on our healthcare system and a quicker return to an economy. All of it, it's all connected. But let's do the loving thing. We're not doing this out of fear. Can I give you one more? Here's something that's not loving at all. When you and I hoard. I don't care if it's toilet paper or ground beef or whatever it is that you're hoarding. I'm telling you, well, Greg, but I gotta provide for my family. Absolutely, do it. When you need something, then get what you need. But there is absolutely no justification for people piling like paper products into the back of their SUV and stashing it in their basement for some future date. We are going to live by faith. We are going to live a sacrificial life. We're going to live a loving life. So let's pay attention to those urges that the world is giving us to hoard things. You want to know what we should be paying attention to? Here's what our life is. Our life is a cross-shaped life. Let's live that life and watch how God uses this in the coming days. You watch how God is going to use your reactions online, in person, how God's going to use the way that you're living your life in a way to further his kingdom. But Greg, I don't even know how I'm going to remember that. Well, let me give you one thought here, and it goes back to that first five, and it's this idea of scriptures. Scriptures. These are scriptures here. We're going to give them to you in a variety of ways, and you can find your own. But I would say just take one of these passages, just one of these verses. These are not very long. Maybe you print it out. Maybe you write it out on a post-it note and you stick it on your computer. Maybe it's the first thing that you look at when you go in and you look at yourself in the bathroom mirror. I don't know what it is. Some of us are going to get to a place where we actually memorize one of these. I'll tell you what, I've got one on here that I'm memorizing right now. You see, my friend Nikki Gumbel puts it like this. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate on scripture. You take a scripture and just baste your thoughts in it. Let it be something. Yeah, it's the first five, but now you're going to take that verse with you all week. Long, whether it's one of these or another, let's do this together and watch how it reorients us to the way we're going to live. This is how we live in hope, even as we face the unknown. How about this? Worship. We're so grateful that you're joining us from around the country and literally around the world. And I said it earlier, but this idea of worship is essential to the flourishing of a soul. I would ask you in the coming weeks to dare. Like, watch yourself just singing more and more out loud in that family room, in wherever you're watching. Just do it. Wouldn't it be something if we returned and gathered, and we will come together again? I promise. Won't it be something when we do that, and we've discovered our own worship voice, and the volume is like almost more than we can handle? Oh, God deserves this, and he loves us so much that when we worship him that way, he blesses us as we do that. Share songs with each other. Sing out loud in your car. Pay attention to the playlists that we have. Here's another one, prayer. I want to give you just one sort of a action item when it comes to prayer. I told you last week to cast your anxieties onto him because he cares for you. He is watching over you. All of that is true. I just want us to get to a place where we actually, we admit those anxieties. You know, our friend, let's put it up there. Our friend from last week, you remember that quote from Andy Crouch? He said, anxiety is imagining a future without Jesus. We don't want to do that. I want you to get to a place where you will bring your prayers to God and you will imagine this future with Jesus. But as you do that, I'm also now going to ask you in a very specific way, will you help us? Will you lift people up in prayer in a specific area of our country and world? Here's what I'm talking about. On my social media platforms this past week on Tuesday, I tossed something out there, and boy, did the conversation come back significantly. In fact, if you want to be in on those conversations, then just join us, because I'd love to hear what you're thinking. But I'm telling you this, we talked about how we're feeling powerless and how it's like, wait, so I'm going to fight the battle by sitting on the couch and washing my hands. Well, that does matter. But we also said that there is a kind of prayer that will catapult you onto the battlefield. It's intercessory prayer. It's when you intercede for someone, when you lift them up by name. God, will you protect this person? Will you cover them today? Will you remind them that you're with them? Will you give them extra energy? Will you give them wisdom? And you lift them up by name. Now you're in the game. I'm asking you to help us by interceding for the healthcare professionals around the country and the world. So when we tossed that out there on Tuesday, we've been overwhelmed by the response that we've gotten. Surgeons and ER docs and nurses and techs and people who are making medical supplies and mental health professionals and a variety of people in this industry across the country and now the world are coming back to us in the hundreds and saying, will you please pray for me? I mean, these are really emotional requests. Will you please pray for me? I've never seen this before. Will you help me? Will you protect my family? God, please, will you do all of this? So if you want to be a part of that, all you have to do is to text the word healthcare, it's one word, healthcare, to 48099. When you do, we'll get back to you and we'll give you that list. And what Robin and I are doing is we're picking a couple of names on there that we know. You're just getting first names and last initials, but we picked out a couple that we know there and we're praying for them by name. And then a couple of other people we don't even know. And I'm looking at that and saying, okay, God, I don't know the situation, but you do. You're watching over them. Please protect them. Please sustain them. Please protect their families. And let's do this together and watch what God does. Lastly, take care of yourself. We'll keep talking about this. You do need to sleep. You do need to slumber. Remember that there is one who watches over you who doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And yes, he's got you. So you're not a bulletproof, got it all figured out stud or studette. Welcome to the club. Your life is as finite and fragile as the rest of ours. And by the way, please don't think that I have this all figured out. You can ask my wife, Robin, about this, but there will be moments throughout the week where I'll see a thought or a concern or a headline, and it begins to pull me into the swirl, and I have to refocus my gaze. I'm telling you, we don't want to imagine a future without Jesus. Is there work for us to still do? Absolutely. Will that work be in this world? Oh, I promise you, God's not finished with this world. There will come a day, God, please let it be soon, where we re-enter the world and we will do things that God has called us to do for his glory. Until then, let's keep praying and let's keep dreaming and let's keep imagining. I am not making light of any of this. This is a serious thing. But you got to hear me. It will end. This will come to an end. And then God's going to call us back into the world like never before. Be ready. Be ready. Until these unknowns become known, look to him. Chase after him. Come to him. If what I was describing earlier about accepting this forgiveness of Jesus and understanding that it's not about religion, but it really is relationship, if you need more explanation around that, if you'd like to talk with a pastor, then email us at pastors@thecrossing.church or talk to someone online right now, because we would love nothing more than to explain to you what it means to be welcomed and to be blessed. And to be loved by the God of the universe who did all of this for you. See, I don't know how many tomorrows I have left. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just saying that's unknown. I don't know. What I do know is that when there are no more tomorrows for me, I will open my eyes in eternity. And I will lift those eyes and I will see the face that has cared for me, watched over me, rescued, restored, and redeemed me. And I will be home. That's how I live with hope. But until that day, in this still broken world where dragons lurk at the edge of the map, when I look to the hills, I will see the unknown and I will see potential threats. But if I look again, what I will see in those hills is my God who has me, my God who is enough, my God who is not intimidated, overwhelmed, or surprised by any of this. And so my job is to turn that gaze towards him. You know this hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm going to ask you to sing with me, church. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. I wish I could hear you sing now. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I love being one of your pastors. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. We're praying for you. God is doing a mighty thing in his church. Until we see each other, and we will see each other again, be safe, be smart, be kind, be loving, be gentle, be generous. And yes, be a part of what God is doing even now. We'll see you soon.